So let's discuss a few, just for a few minutes. I really have very little to share with you today. One thing I left out from yesterday, one of Mimashlim from the Sefer yesterday from the Peloi Satara, a very interesting Shaila. We know this week's parasha we learn about Shini Hashem. Hashem says to Avram, no longer will you be called Avram. From here on in, you will be called Avraham. Av, until now you were a prince. You were the master of the city of Aram. Ram, Avram. Ram is short for Aram. The Aleph is a prefix. Somehow the Aleph falls off. Aram. Now you're going to be Av Hamoin Goyim. Av Hamoin. You're going to be the father of mankind. Okay. Sarah no longer going to be called Sarai. My princess. It's going to be Sarah. You're going to be the princess of the world. Shinei Hashem. We all know that today, a person, there are times when a person changes his name. Why would a person want to change his name? Well, if the name is not a complimentary name, a person who was given the name Nimrod, right? In Eretz Yisrael is a very popular name. In Eretz Yisrael is a very common name. A very common name in Eretz Yisrael, one of the most popular names. And then this person is Chozer Beshuva, and he realizes he's not scoring any points with the name of Nimrod. So there is something called Shinei Hashem. Unfortunately, I heard on the radio of this, is that in Eretz Yisrael, a lot of people today, we live in a world where we're trying to find schoolists and we're searching for hocus pocus for all of our solutions for all of our problems. So many people feel that they're not satisfied with their life, and they attribute their unhappiness to bad mazel. And bad mazel they attribute to a bad name. So they figure if they'll change their name, they'll have better mazel. So it's very common, it seems, in Eretz Yisrael among non-religious who are into this spooky type of things to change their name. Okay, whatever it is, Hashem will Shini Hashem. We all know that a choyle, Rachman al son, a person is ill. There's a thing to add a name. We even to change a name, and the name doesn't necessarily stick. The only time the name sticks if the person actually survives, gets better. The person does not get better, then the added name does not stick on the matzeva. They don't write. That does not go on. They don't. It's only if the person actually recovered and it becomes part of the person's name. And there are Baruch Sirotskin. Baruch Sirotskin, when he was a young man, he was very sick, and the added name Raphael, and he recovered. And he recovered that for many decades, maybe even 20 years.
What? He was old already. He wasn't that old. But he died subsequently.
No.
He died again of cancer.
What? Okay, but he recovered from the time that they added the name until he recovered. It was a significant number of period of time, and therefore that's why today in the family, I know this as a fact, in the family they call him Raphael Baruch Sirotskin. They refer to him as Raphael. Okay, there are many people like this that the name was added and they, I don't know, to some degree they recovered and they kept the additional name. Okay, there is something to it. Interesting. I once heard something very interesting. The person that was had in the family, they had a child that was born. This goes back 40 years ago, and the child was not well. Child had major issues. And they went to, I think, Rav David Feinstein. And they asked Rav David Feinstein what to name the child. Well, what should they do? So they told him, they asked him many things what to do, but one of the things was, what should we name him? So he told them, you should give him an exotic name. Rav David Feinstein, I know this firsthand. Rav David Feinstein says you should give the child an exotic name. Because this way people will always know about him. Because he needs a lot of siyat d'shmaya. He needs a lot of rachamim. People will be mespal for him. People will help him out. So if he has just an ordinary name, Chaim Schmerl, then okay. So what's this person's name? His name is Chaim. People are not gonna pay. They're not gonna pay attention. But if he'll have an exotic name, then it will draw attention, and through the attention, he will benefit through tefillah, through chesed. And indeed, they gave an exotic name. But I want to say, I'm not at liberty to say all the information, but indeed, it really, and it's so true. And like everyone knows him by his name, because the name is not a name that you're used to hearing. So it's very interesting, what's in a name? Talk about what's in a name. The name represents a person, it captures a person's essence. Now in this sefer, the Peloi Satara, he has a very fascinating discussion, and he has stories to back this up, and it turns out it's a very big machlokes lepraisa, it's a very controversial thing, where a person, we all know people change their names. Okay, very good. What about you? You want to change your father's name. Okay, let's say you have a person, his name is Achaim, and his father's name was Yosef. And everyone, Yosef, his father was a very evil man. Jewish, Shomer Shabbos person, not dealing with, you know, in the secular world where people change their name, they don't want to be associated with villains and criminals. But a person gets an aliyah, his name is, they call up to the Torah his whole life, Chaim and Yosef. And, oh, Chaim and Yosef, oh, Yosef, he swindled me $1 million and this and this and this. And the person had enough already. The father was a meshumet, enough already. So, let's say he gets married. He's Chaim and Yosef, and he just had enough of the reputation. So he says, now my new name is Chaim ben Avraham. And he goes around telling people that my father's name, I'm changing, I'm doing a Shinui Hashem, not my name. My name is Chaim. I'm not going to change my name, but I don't want to be associated with my father. I want to be known as Chaim ben Avraham. What? In this case, there's no kibbutz because his father was a meshumet. His father was a meshumet. So, and that's what he did. And there are documented stories like this. And now he gets divorced. And then we all know that the name, the most important thing why you need a name, the only reason why you really need a name is for divorce. For getting married, you don't need a name. Ksuba is only takana, the rabbanon. Okay, you have to have the right name, it has to be spelled the right way, but if it's not 100%, it's also good. And certainly when it comes to getting an aliyah, it's no big deal, so they won't call you up by the perfect name, it's okay. But when it comes to a divorce, you're dealing with mamzerus. If the person, the woman's going to remarry, it's a valid divorce, you need the real name. So what do you do now? So there are solutions. You can say, you can write in the ksuv, you can write in the get, you can write all the variations, his name is this, but he didn't do that. What he did was, he went to the Bez, he didn't tell the Bez all the information, and he just, my name is Chaim ben Avraham, and they wrote a divorce, and he got divorced, and he's known by Chaim ben Avraham, he did the Shin Yashem. Is there such a thing in Halacha to change your father's name? We're all familiar. What? He gave. That's the question. Okay, this is the question. Do you have the right to do something like this? It's a fascinating shaila. I never heard such a shaila before. You can change your own name. No one's stopping you from changing your own name. But who gives?
If Avraham Avinu had another child in a get, then Avraham would it be a good get or not? Once they change his name.
That would be the shayla. Okay, so you're right. That would be the shayla. But there also, you have to know, Hashem changed the name. Hashem changed the name. But let's talk about a case that we are familiar with where we change our name. People all the time go and they change their name. By the way, how do you change your name? Well, what do you do? What do you do to change your name? You just get nothing. You just, mikanu l'haba. When it takes time, you give me an aliyah, you call him by this name. You know, there's no ceremony. There's no ceremony to go in front of the Ohr HaKodesh and you read some magical kapitlach of Tehillim. No bez din, there's no tefillah in the mikvah. There's no ceremony. Mikan al haba, when you write on the paper, this is my name. That's it. That's the way Shin Hashem is done. But the question is, what about changing your father's name? Fascinating shaila. So I don't have in front of me the sefer, but basically he presents machlekes ha-poiskim. Big, majorly poiskim. Maybe it was in the Chassam Sofer was involved in such a case. Shaila, I think he calls him the Chassam Sofer. I think the Chassam Sofer was matir. He says, you can do it. And it opens up a whole new understanding into what the father's name. When you call a person, your name is Reuven ben Shimon. What does that mean? It means you're Reuven, the son of Shimon. Is that the pshat? It's a biological identification, the DNA. No, that's how you're known. That's the way you are perceived in the world. Even the father's name doesn't mean you are the biological child of Shimon and will do a DNA test to determine who. That's not necessarily what a name is, even when you have the father's name. Reuven, the same way you are known to us as Reuven, you are known to us as Reuven, the son of Shimon. If you can change the way we know you, the way we refer to you by a different father's name, the reason why we have father's name is because confusion. Because the chance of two people having the same Yosef are so common, we have to go back one generation. The proof to this is, the Gemara says, the proof to this concept is, in a situation where you have two Yosef and Shimon living in the city, what do? You go back another generation. Yosef ben Shimon ben so-and-so. You go back a third generation. So what do you see? You see that it's perception. This is the way we know who you are. Not it's not necessarily a biological stamp of identity. Mineila, if you can convince us that we should know of you by the name of Yosef ben Avram instead of Yosef ben Shimon for a good reason, because your father's in a Shimon and it's causing you a loss of money in business and causing you problems in society, good for you. Just change even your father's name and that will be your new name even when it comes to matters of divorce. Fascinating Chiddush.
I know somebody did it.
What? Lichatchila, of course. So today, not everyone agrees with this. This is a controversial psak. If I'm not mistaken, I think it's the Chassam Sofer.
Someone was born on his birth certificate, it was called Marcel.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they gave him a Jewish name.
No.
And everyone called him Marcel, and he finally says, I don't want to get rid of Marcel, I want to call myself Chaim.
But that's the first thing. The first thing, we know you can do that. A first name, we know we can do that. The question is, can you do it?
Changes it in the get, you will say somewhere.
I know.
Right. Because that's the first name. That's the first name. The question is, what about your father's name? What?
I know
Hakira.
I know somebody that did that.
Now it's Chaim.
Maybe he can't do that.
No. I know somebody.
You can always write books.
I know somebody.
You can't change it. You have three people like
that. It was Nate.
What? Right. Yep. This is the Hakira. I just want to point out this Hakira. The first name, there's no question, it's the way you're perceived, the way you're known. It's not, there's no DNA in your first name. This is the way we refer to you. And the proof is because you can change your name. Everyone knows you can change your name. It's done every so often. The question that's not so common is, when you want to go, now you want to go change your father's name. Father's not living anymore. Do you have the power to do so? So the Hakir is, when you say this person, the son of that person, is that like basically a blood sample? A blood sample. If it's a blood sample, you cannot deny reality. You have no power to change your father's name. But if when you say this person, the son of so-and-so, it's not a blood sample, it's a matter of perception. The same way you can change your name, you can change your father's name also.
Well, if you had...
Also, you want to bring a raya from a ger. You want to bring a raya from a ger. So maybe ger is an exception.
Avraham and Avraham. But if you add a name, his name is Yosef Refuel. If you say Chaim, then Yosef Refuel.
No, that's also the same. The same exact shayla. But adding a name, it's the same exact shayla. It's a machloikis sapoiskim. He brings down two stories, actual stories of a gitin, in the footnotes of the Poros HaTorah. He brings down two stories, and the stories in one story, the Rabbonim of the day paskin, it's a kosher get, and another story, the Rabbonim of the day paskin, that it's not a kosher get. Are there more details to the story, which maybe there were? But just the question is a fascinating question, which is not common, and it depends on this issue. Yeah.
I know somebody that did that.
His father's name?
Changed the father's name.
Father's name?
He wanted to change the father's name because he was named after, the father was named after a certain person.
Yeah.
When he went to the Matseva to see that person's name, one of the names was cut off. In other words, Avram Moshe. When he went to the Matseva, it was Avram, so he cut off the Moshe.
That doesn't necessarily mean that his father's you have to know the story, all the details are. Okay, that's one idea. Now go to another idea. And this week's parasha we have the topic of Sodom. And there's a concept in halacha called Koifin Al Midas Sodom. This is a halachic principle. It's a very scary principle. What exactly is the principle of Koifin Al Midas Sodom? So more often than not, we associate this principle with the theory of Zenene v'zelechasa. That is a big, big debate if that is accurate. Zenene means I derive benefit, and the benefit that I derive does not cause you any loss. Like, let's say, there are many examples of Zenene. Is Midas Sodom really the same thing as Zen, you deriving benefit? V'zelechasa. The truth is, it's not. The two things have nothing to do with one another. And the proof to this is the Mishnah Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah Pirkei Avos, everyone discusses this, and this is a very scary idea. And we want to actually discuss this. I want to bring up that topic that we discussed not so long ago again. The Mishnah says, Ha'omer sheli sheli, v'shalach shalach, what's mine is mine, and what's yours is yours. Don't cross the line. Okay, let's everyone mind each other's business. So the Mishnah says, it's not so bad. It's not so bad. Hare zo midas benoni. Okay, this is the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. It says, Shali Shali v'shalach shalach. It says in the Mishnah, midas benoni. This is midas beinonis. The ar midas beinonis. Ma'ay mashlish shali v'shalach shalach. Harei zo mida beinonis. Not so bad. What are the extremes? Shali shalach. What I have is yours. V'shalach shalach. That's a tzaddik.
That's a
nah. What? Ooh, okay. That's a tzaddik. What is the exact words of the parak? I forgot the exact words of the parak. Did I say what? A tzaddik. Chassid, you have to go look up. Perakei Mishnah Yud. Okay, then there's the other extreme. Shalach. Shali. Shali, shali. That's not what you would expect. That's midas stom. Right? Isn't that what you would expect? It's not what it says. It says that's a Russia. That's a wicked man. That's,
isn't that done, Russia?
Oh! The only place it says in Pirkei Avos, Midas Tom, is where it says, Sheli Sheli, V'Shalach Shalach. First it says, that's pretty good. You're in the middle. You're not the Tzaddik, and you're not the Russia. You're somewhere in the middle. And then it says, V'Yeshayim Rim, some say this Pirkei Avos, Zo Midas Sidom. So all the commentators jump on this and say, what are you talking about? Midas Sidom is the Anshe Sidoim Chatoim V'Royim Royim the Chatoim Me'od. They were rebellious. We all know this. The Midrashim, when you come to the city, they stretch you, they're too big, too short. And what they did, what they wanted to do to Lot, they did not tolerate the guests. Haketzaka Haboy Lai also called the Maisa with the daughter of Lot. Lot lived in a city, was a poor man. And what happened? No one wanted to feed her, so she was afraid for her life. So when she went to the well, she accidentally dropped a loaf of bread near the well. No one should see. And the poor man, the homeless man, he ate that loaf of bread every single day. The people of Sodom didn't understand why the guy is still alive. How could it be every single day on the surveillance cameras the guy is still there? Who's feeding him? It's a crime in Sodom to feed the poor. How did he survive? So they made an investigation and they discovered that it was the daughter of Lot that was every day secretly, surreptitiously dropping a loaf of bread. What did they do to the daughter of Lot? They killed her. They killed her. I remember the details, the gory details. So that cry came when they killed her. She says, Hashem should take up my cause. And Moshe Dina LaShemayim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Haketzako, Haboy Lai Osu. If they taka did this kala, I'm going to bring an end to the city. So the stone, they were neutral. They weren't Shali, Shali, Vishlach, Shalach. They were evil. Yeah?
That the young woman in that incident was unnamed.
According to what I have here, it was a daughter of Lot. According to what I have here, Bidoy Shalot, it says here, Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. K'moy kein muva b'Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer per kafe Rabbi Zirama Asirei Oilam Halanshi. They were wealthy, and they refused to do any chasadim. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Hechrizui B'Stom V'Amru Kol Mishuhu Machzik Yodoi B'Pas Lechem Lo'ani U'Leger Levyon Yisarif Bo'esh Bitoi Shaloit Hoysen Nesul Yechon Migdor Le'Estoim Re'os Ani Mechotke. This is the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, so the commentator asked the question. So with the Perek, the only place where it says in Pirkei Avos Stom is Shali Shali V'Shloch Shaloch, and yet that's not the way we are familiar with Stom. Stom, they were Rishoyim. They bedavka. They did things that were evil. They killed people. They went out of the way. So the Tiferes Yisrael says a very powerful Yisod, and this you hear this every so often when you talk about the Bar Tanura. The Bar Tanura, Chosel Farsha Bar Tanura, read the exact words. The Im Omar Shali Shali V'Shloch Shaloch Koroiv Lovo Lidei Midastam. That's where it all starts. No one starts out as a criminal. It's not the way it goes. It's not that's not human nature to start out harming people. A healthy person starts out indifferent. Indifference, selfishness. You for you, me for me. Any person finds himself in that matzav, it's muftach, it's guaranteed he will go to the extreme and will steal and will harm and will kill and will violate every halacha in the Torah. The Mishnah is telling us a very scary principle, is that midas stom starts in shali, shali, v'shalach, shalach. That's where it starts. I remember mentioned this to you not so long ago. It was this very frightening poll. There was a poll done in Eretz Yisrael about the attitude the Chilonim have towards the Haredim. So the question was, what are your feelings towards the Haredim? Do you hate them? Do you love them? Or are you indifferent? The vast majority of the Chilonim that were polled responded indifference. We don't hate them. Chas v'shalom to say about us that we hate the Haredim. We don't hate them. We don't love them. We don't hate them. We're just sheli sheli v'shelach shelach.
What? What's with the other side?
The other way around, they hate them. The Haredim towards the Chilonim, they of course they hate them. What do you think? No, I shouldn't say that. I have no idea. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I didn't see that part of it. So most people, including myself, this was written up in all the papers. So wow, not so bad. Now this poll came out during the time of the draft and the whole ugly scene that was going on. So most people like me said, oh, look at that, not so bad. They don't hate us. It's just we don't see things the same way. Maybe there's hope. Maybe there can be some reconciliation. We can work together. There can be some getting together. So some people, some very wise people, said it's a lot worse than we thought. Because don't make a mistake, and indifference is a lot worse than hatred. Rabbi Akiva said, when I walked in the street, and Rabbi Akiva, until he was 40 years old, was an ignoramus. He didn't even know the Aleph Beis. And Rabbi Akiva said, he was a Chiloni. He was the Spitz Chiloni. And when he was polled, when they asked Rabbi Akiva, what do you think about the Haredim? He says, if I could bite them, I would bite them not like a donkey, bite, like a camel. The hatred that I have towards the Talmidei Chacham is so great, if only I can bite them like a camel. Rabbi Akiva, so when he was polled, he said he hates them with a sinas mavis. What do they do to him? What are the Haredim they did? Doesn't say anywhere that the Haredim, they did anything to Rabbi Akiva. Yet he had. But what happened to Rabbi Akiva? Ultimately, that hate turned into love. And he became the father of Torah Shebaal Peh. Doresh, the Kutzim Shel Oisias, Moshe Rabbeinu said, if only I can understand the Shir Rabbi Akiva. If Rabbi Akiva would have been indifferent, Sheli Sheli, V'Shelach Shelach, that's really what it is. Sheli Sheli, V'Shelach Shelach means indifference. I don't want to know from you. Then would he have become Rabbi Akiva? No, he never would have become Rabbi Akiva. Some of the people who commented on this poll observed, we are in a lot of trouble. If the Chilonim are saying about us, they don't care for us, not for good, not for bad, they're indifferent, they will never turn into Rabbi Akiva. They have to hate us first for them to one day like us. In order for them to be chozer b'shuva, there has to be that emotion. There has to be that emotion of, I want what you have. I want, it's better to be shelach sheli. It's shocking. It's better to be shelach sheli v'sheli sheli. I want to live my lifestyle. But I see the Haredim, they have something to offer. I want that also. Sheli, sheli, what's mine is mine. I want to continue my lifestyle. But the good things that the Haredi society have to offer, I wouldn't mind having that as well. V'shelach sheli, that's a Russia, but it's not stone. Stone is the pits. Stone, the Rishon are not destroyed. The Rishayim come to shul on Shabbos. Tzibur. A tzibur is tzadikim, ubeinonim, and rishoyim. They come to shul. The anshei sedom don't come to shul because they're gone. They're destroyed. Gofres somelach srefa kolarza kemapechas stom v'amora. There's no hope for indifference. And really, that's what it says in Pirkei Avos. That's what it says in Pirkei Avos of sheli sheli v'shalach shalach is stom. Memela koifnal midastom. Memela, when you come to that matziv, that's the worst. You don't mind your business. The Musa Haskell, the homiletic view is, when you have a situation where of indifference, koifin. If you have a situation where there's rishis, there's evil, you don't necessarily have to force a person to be a tzaddik. Because the person himself knows what he's doing. If there's hope for the person, he's connected to you. But when there's stone, midas stone, where there's indifference, then there has to be some degree of kefia. There has to be some engagement with the other party. What's going on over here? There's a homiletic muster havart in the Kofen al Midastam. It's not just a halachic principle is that you force a person to behave in a situation where he has nothing to lose. That itself, he has. This is very complicated. We're not for now, but I want to bring out this.
Europe, they thought America was fadar. Whoever wanted to go to America. So that's why there was that attachment, even though it was completely opposite, that they did go to America.
Okay, could be interesting. When you have hate, that's the beginning of connection. Okay, have a wonderful day.